from, how he set me free. Man, I'm sick and tired of hearing about this and that. You've been set free. Free, free, free. Whoa, glory, free. He said, preacher, I don't believe that, man. I'm telling you, if you're saved, you're free. You're no longer a parolee. You've been pardoned. He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything? What he says in Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is God is the one that says that you've been set free and you've been pardoned. Silly illustration, but you get it from a silly preacher. This is my sin. As black could be. As dirty, filthy, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And you say, preacher, how can I be so sinful and so nasty and so just nasty? How can I be that way but still be justified in Jesus Christ? How can I be that way? You may have family members. You may know people that profess Christ and you see them live a different lifestyle or living differently. I don't know about all that. I'm telling you what God's done for me in my life according to the Word of God. That night when I repented and asked Him to come into my life and save me, He took my black sin. He took my black sin and He put it in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 1:5 that He washed us in the blood. He washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. He put my sin here to never be remembered, never to be brought up, never to be uncovered again. And this morning, if somebody's uncovering your sin, you remember it ain't God. When you listen to me this morning, I mean, this right here just got all over me, and I've known this, but Satan's trying to take this from me. Satan is trying to take this blessing from my life, Brother Jenny, to know that I've been saved from my sin, past, present, and future. Not what I've done, but what He's done on the cross of Calvary. Now, when you get to the place in this old sin, and people try to bring up your past, or they say, this, listen to me. Listen to me. You remember, if you've asked Jesus to save you, it is in the blood. You notice there's more blood than there are black. There's more blood than they are sin. There's more blood than they are separation. There's more blood than they are guilt. There's more blood than they are being ashamed. There's more blood than anything that you can think of this morning. And one of the most precious things in a person's life is the blood. This morning He said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This morning, if you've been saved, I want to tell you that your past, your present, and your future sins was washed away at the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at the cross of Calvary. You say, preacher, what do I do to get this free gift and to lose this guilt and shame and all this on my life? You must put it in the blood. You must allow God to wash your sin away in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And once you get saved, there's no way you can get any other right standing with God but by the blood. You can't do enough to make Him happy. You can't do enough to please Him. Only you know what satisfies God? The blood. The blood. You can't do enough to please Him. You can't do enough to make Him happy. You can't do enough to satisfy Him. It's the blood. But you know what we try to do as Christians? You know what we try to do as good church people? We try to do more, try to get on a better standing with God. And He said, the only thing I'm looking at is the bloodline. I'm looking at the bloodline. Let me give you this morning. Man, this is just who the Son sets free. He says in Romans 5:1, you've got that. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. He declares you not guilty any longer. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. If you're feeling under condemnation this morning and you're a child of God, you remember that's not of God. That's Satan. If you're around somebody that's putting you under condemnation, get away from them. If you're in a relationship that is condemning you, always get away from it. This morning He says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says that we must all appear before the judgment seat. So where is my sin at when I appear before this judgment seat? So when will my sin be judged, preacher? If I'm saved, when will my sin be judged? I got good news. Your sin was judged 2,000 years ago. It was judged 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. It was nailed to an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. Man, I want you to know, when will it be judged? 2,000 years ago, at Calvary it was judged. He said, what about my sin now? What about the sin I commit now after I've been saved? It was judged then as well. It was judged then as well. Let me give you this morning. Jesus died for my past, my present, and my future. Let me give you this. Jesus died for my sins before I was born, which makes it He died for my future sin. This morning, the judgment seat of Christ, and Isaiah 53:6, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of your sin 2,000 years ago was laid on Jesus Christ. You say, how do I get forgiven? How do I get set free? By the blood of Jesus Christ. It's already been paid. Sin's already been paid for. All you have to do is confess it to Jesus Christ. It's already been paid for. Isaiah 43:25, the Bible says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. He said, I don't remember them, son. You know what? Man, I'm telling you, when you get to that judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to give an account for your sin. And there's some preaching that when you stand there, you're going to give an account. Oh, no, sir. Oh, no, sir. When you get to heaven, there's nothing you can give an account for. You cannot give an account for your sin. There's only one thing that takes care of sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood of Jesus. Right now, He's your lawyer. Right now, He's your lawyer. He's advocating for you. He's helping you. But when you get to heaven, He ain't going to be your lawyer. He's going to be your judge. He's going to be your judge in the blood. If it's not been applied, I want you to know that that is not what you're going to give an account for, your sin. You're going to give an account for the work that you've done in this body. And man, so many people are distorting that truth. So many Christians are living in fear. So many Christians are living in chaos and all kind of things in their life. Instead of being joyful in what God's done in their life, they're afraid they're going to let Him down. They're afraid they're going to mess up. They're afraid they're going to slip up. I'm going to give you some news this morning. You're going to mess up. You're going to slip up. You're going to fall. There's things that's going to come your way. If anybody here since you've been saved, anybody here ain't never messed up since you've been saved? I don't see a hand. Anybody in here since you've been saved, you ain't messed up? I don't see a hand. Why? Because we're all messed up. Everybody in this room, that Christian you think's got it all together, he or she's a big old mess up. They just learned how to wrap themselves up in the grace of God. They've just learned how to wrap themselves up in the grace of God. Let me give you this. Not only, number one, the Bible says we're justified at salvation, but I want to give you the second thing this morning. We will at the judgment seat of Christ, what will take place? That'll be the judgment of the saved. Look what your Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, talking about the saved, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Good or bad doesn't mean, listen to me this morning, Christian that's defeated right now, you need to be listening to this. You need to get you a big old taste of this. I'm talking about get you a big old spoon. You know that spoon your mama whooped you with, that old wooden spoon about that long? You need to get you a taste of that this morning. This will run Satan so far away from you, he won't even know where you at. It'll get Satan completely away from your life for a matter of time. I want you to know, he got to get back when it comes to this. Whoa, man. You're not going to be judged. Listen, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Good or bad doesn't mean righteous or sinful. Doesn't mean that. It means acceptable or worthless. We will be judged on our works, saved folks, not our sin. Your sin was took care of on the cross of Calvary. Your sin was took care of on the cross. You see his shame, his suffering, but you also see his salvation at the cross of Calvary. You know, I told this story the other night at Broken Life. The little boy. The little boy was out in town and he was lost. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know where his house was. It was late at night. He said the police come by and he asked him, he said, son, he said, yes, sir. He said, what are you doing out here? He said, I'm lost. I've got away from home. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where. He said, what's your daddy's name? He said, Daddy. He said, okay. He said, what's your mama's name? He said, Mama. He said, where do you live? He said, I don't know. He said, well, son, we got to get you home. The little boy said, well, all I know is there's a church there and it's got a cross right by my house. He said, if you can lead me to the cross, I can find my way home. If you can just lead me to the cross, man, I can find my way home, amen. If you've ever been there, you'll find your way home. I see that in that judgment, here's what's going to take place. It's going to be a righteous judgment. You say, preacher, when I die, what's going to happen? It's going to be a righteous judgment. It won't be fair. It'll be righteous. You know what? My wife won't stand with me that day. Much as I love you, I won't stand with you and you won't stand for me. I'm going to stand alone at that judgment. It's a righteous judgment. You're going to be judged for the motive of your work. Was it for self-pleasure? Was it that you get the biggest name? Was it that you get the most accolades? You're going to be judged at the righteous judgment for the motive of your work and the faithfulness that you worked. You're going to be judged on the lack of work that you've done. I heard Adrian Rogers say that he played football, had a title, had a ball there, a football, a golden ball. He had all kind of accolades hanging all over his wall. He said he had everything that you could think of hanging on his wall. The ball got stolen. Other things got lost. Some of it got burned up. And he got complaining with the Lord. He said, Adrian, you knew that was going to burn up anyway one day. There's some of you in here this morning, including myself. I got things I hang my hat on. But if it ain't for Jesus Christ, it's going to burn one day anyway. Why hold on to it here when it ain't going to make it over there? Can I say to you, it's a righteous judgment. We all shall stand before that judgment. It's righteous. But number two, it's raw. When you stand before Jesus Christ, it's going to be a raw judgment. When you stand over there, it won't be whether you go in or you go out. It won't be whether you're saved or you're lost. When you're standing there, you're either done. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're done saved. You're done in. The great white throne, it ain't going to be getting saved. You're already lost. You're already hell bound. You're just waiting on your judgment. This morning, I want you to get this. That's a raw judgment. How do you know that? Because there's going to be some saved people going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to have shame all over their life. They're going to make it, but they're going to be ashamed. They're going to be shamed. They're going to be shamed when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because what they've done was not for God. It was for themselves. Let me give you this morning, shame at the judgment. 1 John 2:28. The Bible says, and now little children, that's talking about the saved, abide in him that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You said, can I be ashamed standing before Jesus Christ? I guarantee you. The Bible says that we may not be ashamed at his appearing or at his coming. But can I say this to you? Not only there'll be shame, but there'll be sorrow at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're saved this morning, now's the time to work. Now's the time. You say, I ain't saved by works. I know that. You're saved by grace. But you're saved to work. You're saved to work and do the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time to work. The Bible says in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Is there going to be weeping at that judgment, preacher? I guarantee you. When he pulls that veil back and show you what you could have had, if you'd have just done this, what you could have been blessed with, what God could have done, what family member could have been saved. Maybe you was that key at that moment to win them to Christ. He says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow. There's that sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. But can I say something about that raw judgment? There's shame at the judgment. There's sorrow at the judgment. But there is no separation at that judgment. When you get there to the judgment seat of Christ, child of God, there'll be no separation there. You will not be separated from Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that puts me on shouting ground. I've told you that your sin's already been paid for. If you believe in Jesus Christ, it's already been paid for. But we live like we ain't been had nothing paid for. Bill's already been paid, already been took care of, and we're living like we ain't got nothing paid for yet. He's done set you free. This morning I done told you not only that, but I told you about the judgment that is to come. When you stand there before that judgment, it's going to be right. It's going to be raw. But it's going to be rewarding. And here's what he's going to reward you on when you stand there. Because see, there's nothing you can do to get you into heaven. Did you know that? There's nothing you can do to get in heaven but trust the name of Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. I know a lot of Christians trying to work their way to heaven. They think they just keep on, and if the good and the bad, if it all outweighs, man, No, that ain't how it works. Because listen, if it did work that way, and Brother Brent outworked me, when he got to heaven, he'd be having something to brag on. And you get a little, you know how us men are. Well, I know these two are. Us three here. I ain't going to conclude y'all because I don't like us three. We like to boast a little bit, don't we? Can't help it. So if I got to heaven on what I've done a little bit better than Brother Brent, I'd boast a little bit more than he would. But can I say to you this morning, when you get to heaven, you ain't got nothing to boast on but the blood of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus. Man, you ought to be set so free this morning. I'm telling you what, when the devil comes your way, don't give him no glory. Leave his name out of everything because he ain't worth being mentioned. He said it's raw, it's righteous, but it's rewarding. Preacher, what am I going to be rewarded on when I get there? What am I going to be rewarded on? I tell you what, bless God, I don't want no reward when I get there. I don't want nothing. I just want to get there. You want something. You want something. If you didn't look in the parking lot out there, we all want something. We all want a little nicer. They got me this suit last week. This thing, I tell you what, I've had it every which way, tucked in and pulled up. It's nice, ain't it? I'm not talking about who's in it. That's a nice suit, ain't it? Don't you bury me in this suit. Come on, loosen up, y'all. I know I've busted some people's bubbles. You thought you'd get to heaven and you was going to have to give an account for your sin. That when you got there, whatever you hadn't confessed of, when you die, you got to confess when you get there. I know that upsetted you because you had all the good answers and you was going to give a reason why. Well, I tell you what, if Brother Travis hadn't done that, Lord, I wouldn't have had, but that ain't going to stand. But the works that you've done is what you're going to give an account for. I'm going to leave you with this. It's righteous, it's raw, and it is rewarding. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 11 through 15. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready for that judgment? Are you ready for that day? We in the book of Revelation, man, it's blessing my heart. It's a rewarded judgment. But I want to make sure you understand this before I go any further. Once again, at the judgment seat of Christ, your works are being judged, not your sin. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, they were judged 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 11, the Bible says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. If you're saved, that's your foundation right there. That's what gets you into heaven. Your foundation is what gets you into heaven. And then you start building on that foundation. And he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work, I want you to get the word work right here so many times. Every man's work shall be made manifest or judged. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, not your sin, your work. It's going to try every man's work. And what sort it is, he's going to be the one that sorts them works out. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. Ain't that good? And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. All this stuff that I got built up that was for my glory, my man, for me, Lord knows. It'll all come out in the fire that day. And here's what he said. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Your work will burn up, but your soul shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I wrote this down, will you have a bunch of rubble or some beautiful rubies? When you stand there, will it just be a bunch of rubble or will it be beautiful rubies? Set off the shore of New Hampshire in the Atlantic Ocean, said that there was this daddy and his two children, one about 9-year-old and one about 5-year-old. True story. Said they got out a little bit too far from land, and that oldest child, he had taught her how to float. He had taught that little girl how to float, and the other child was so young, he hadn't had time to teach him. And they got out there way too far from shore, and they got out there, and they got out there. And the daddy told, here's what the daddy told, said, I got to carry your brother back, but don't you worry, I'm coming back to get you. Don't you worry, I'm coming back to get you, but I got to carry your brother to safety, but I'm coming back to get you. And said the daddy took off scared to death getting back to shore with that one child. He said, hon, why daddy's gone? You know I told you, you just float. You get up on your back and you just float because daddy's coming back. You just float because daddy's coming back. Said he got to shore, got the little boy there and got him laid down. And by that time, people was everywhere watching what's going on. And they said, what's going on? He said, I got one more child that's left out there. I got one more child that's left out there. And they got looking and couldn't find him. Said, there's a boat right here. Let's get in the boat. We'll go find that other child. Said they got in that boat and they went out there in the Atlantic Ocean. They got looking, and they seen him. There was that girl. She was floating on her back. And the daddy got to where she was and picked her up and hugged her up. And just loving her up, I'm talking about. And she said, daddy, what's going on? What's going on? She said, oh, I'm just glad you're saved. I'm glad you're, man, I'm glad. I'm just glad. And she said, daddy, I just done what you told me to do. You told me just to float because you're coming back. When you told me you was coming, I know for 1 minute was I scared out here in this rough turbulent. Not 1 minute was I scared of the waves. Not 1 minute was I scared of the white capping that was going on. Because daddy, you told me all I got to do is float because you're coming back. I wonder who right now is rowing. Boy, I'm talking about you rowing. And all we hear, you've got to dig deeper. You've got to get a little deeper. You've got to get another hole. Son, all you got to do is float in Jesus' arms. You got to get a little deeper. You got to study more. You got, folks, that'll wear you slap out. Studying's good. Digging deep's good. But there's sometimes you've studied all you can study. You've dug all you've dug. You've done all you can do. And it's time you just lay up on your back and start floating a little bit. And say, daddy, I'm going to trust you in your words. I'm going to trust you in what you said because you told me you're coming back. I wonder who I'm talking to this morning. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? This morning, some of you just need to float in the arms of Jesus. Get to that place in your life. You just lay back where he is and say, I know you're coming back. I don't understand the trials, the troubles, or the tribulation I'm going through. But I trust you that you said all I have to do is float. And you taught me how not to sink. And that's because I'm waiting on the Father. If you quit waiting on the Father, you'll start sinking. But if you'll just wait on the Father, I promise you everything is going to be all right. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this word. Father, I thank you that we must all appear. The saved folks shall appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And Father, we're working down here for a reward up there. Lord, we're not working down here for nobody but you. And Father, I pray this morning, whoever I'm talking to that's been working in their own strength, in their own power, in their own motive, in their own work, in their own will, Lord, I pray this morning be a morning they get freed from that. Lord, they get freed from those Satan has brought it up to their attention so many times, and they're sick and tired of that, Father, and they don't know what to do. Father, I pray this morning they rest in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Father, as the little boy said, if you can just lead me to the cross, I can find my way home. Lord, this morning there's so many people that has wandered away from the cross or drifted away from the cross. And Lord, all they need to remember is that that sin was took care of on the cross of Calvary. And quit letting Satan beat them with it. And instead, turn around and beat old Satan with the cross. Beat old Satan with the blood of Jesus. Beat old Satan with the word. And Father, if I'm talking to somebody this morning, I pray they don't hinder. They don't wait, but they get to this altar. And they start floating in what you've called them to do. Lord, I thank you this morning for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you this morning that my sin was paid for 2,000 years ago. Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you that 16 and a half years ago, I accepted that payment in my life. What you done paid for, I accepted 16 years ago. And Lord, you saved my soul from a devil's hell. Lord, and I thank you for that this morning. If there's one in here this morning that's just miserable, I pray you'd remind them their sin's been forgiven. Lord, I pray you remind them that this morning. In the precious holy name of Jesus, we ask and we do pray. All of God's people said, I ask you to stand.